Studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu. We are joined, as always, by Jamie Jors and John Rahor of our fan blog Eat More Cheese, along with the best and brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. So, Corey, tell us what's on tap tonight.
Joining us later tonight is one of the best beat writers in the nation. You know him from his work in the Green Bay Press Gazette, Packer beat writer, PackersNews.com, Rob Domofsky.
We bow to you, sir.
But now, we need a little time.
Oh, dear.
For the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yeah. We got the good. We got Clay Matthews.
The Predator is back.
Randall Cobb.
The newest explosive offensive weapon.
James Jones.
And you all wanted him traded.
And we got the bad. We got Mike McCarthy.
Outcoached.
Dumb Capers.
Outcoached.
Here we got the ugly, the replacement ref.
Whole lot of ugly there. So ugly that, Aaron Rodgers alluded to it this week when he talked to Wilde on his weekly radio show about they kind of have to know the rules. That does come as kind of a prerequisite for the job. But there were mistakes made for both. I mean, the Packers were beneficiaries of a blatant uncalled block in the back. Well, called, then flag picked up, but they didn't see the actual block in the back. For a touchdown for Randall Cobb on a return. But there were about, seven not called false starts.
I actually have something for that game.
Oh, there you go. He's brought it out, ladies and gentlemen. He's brought it out.
This game made me feel like this guy.
Packer. You're gonna get crushed. Packer Man is all over the studio now.
I have to pick up the pieces of Packer Man.
We used to have that down in Carolina when Corey first met. The Packers would have, like, a bad play. Like, Billy Schroeder would drop a pass, and you would get Packer Man, and you would tear off his arm, or you would, like, tear off his head because you were pissed.
Hello, Packer Nation. The NFL season has started.
0-1, baby! Woo! Packer Nation is freaking
out. You know, I'm still more excited about 0-1 than I was the entire preseason.
This is true. This is exactly true, because now it's on. We've got football to talk about. Some bad defensive football, some shaky offensive football. NFL, baby, catch the fever.
Oh.
Corey's a little wiped out because he just spent the last 20 minutes in a fevered frenzy trying to get the show off the ground. So you're going to have to give him a man a break
that,
here.
Let him have
a little drink. Let him have a little water.
That's what happens here at Packer Transplants.
That's how we roll. That's how you know. All four of you who watch the show, you know.
Yeah, the guy with monkey, you know, who plays all the instruments.
Is that me? No.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm the pretty face. He just walks in and goes, "Are we ready?"
It's definitely you.
Are we ready? There we go. So, lots to talk about. Let's kick it off with
Packers lose to the best team in the NFL.
An argument could be made.
I've heard that argument on sports radio already.
Yeah. I think the Niners can definitely, make a claim for the best team in the NFL along with probably the Baltimore Ravens and the New England Patriots after week one. Those three teams, I think, look the best. But you got to give it up for the 49ers for coming into Lambeau against a team that went 15-1 last year.
Yeah.
And not entirely shutting down, but pretty much sticking it to an offense. Now, I want to get something out there about this physical 49ers secondary. It's one thing to be physical, and then there's all these little cheap shots their safeties and their corners give when guys are lying on the ground. Like, Greg Jennings is already on the ground, and here comes the safety to give him a little shiv to the forehead. I mean, come on. That's not physical. That's just cheap. All right? So, yes, they're good tacklers. But there's all sorts of extra nonsense going on after the ball carrier's on the ground that I didn't really care for. And then on the offensive side of the ball, let's look at some positives. Let's look at the play of Marshall Newhouse. Everyone was so worried about Marshall Newhouse, myself included, about how Alden Smith and Justin Smith were just going to destroy him. Did Marshall Newhouse get destroyed on Sunday?
No.
I mean, he had, I think, maybe two really kind of like plays, bad plays where he let pressure in. But they did, you know, ultimately the sacks came on blitzes, which Rodgers and company are usually really good at picking up.
Yeah.
And they weren't on Sunday.
No.
I don't know if it's a question of the no-huddle, not having as many plays called, not having as many checks built in, but there were so many times when they were receivers running vertical routes, the blitz was coming, no one was looking back for the ball, and Aaron just kind of had to eat it. So, I know, that was a little disconcerting to me, because this is an offense that hummed along so well last year, and then they seemed to kind of get stuck in a rut, like lots of just static four wide receiver sets and trying to run that no-huddle. But you look at the percentage of the plays that certain positions played. Like, you look at the snaps that Tom Crabtree, John Kuhn, and DJ Williams got. DJ Williams, I think, got 6% of the snaps. Crabtree and Kuhn got, like, 19%. That speaks to how little they used the multiple formations on offense.
Yeah.
That has kind of become a McCarthy staple.
There were a lot of things, though. Totally got away from. There were a lot of things that I didn't see last year that I saw last Sunday.
You mean on offense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And defense.
Yeah, well, there was Randall Cobb. One of the...
Randall Cobb salad? Come on! Are you kidding me
Randall
with Randall Cobb
salad?
He's had that before, I'm sure.
Randall Cobb salad.
Look, he is ridiculous.
He is. He really is.
He is. This is his year.
He caught everything thrown to him, so that was a good start.
Now watch, that'll be his best game.
Yeah, that'll be his... that'll be the Cheesehead TV bump right there.
The Cheesehead TV gift.
So, we're going to touch a little bit more on the 49ers game in a little bit, and with our esteemed guest, Rob Bauju Domofsky.
Domofsky. You're very tanned.
I'm not tanned, dude.
Yeah.
Well,
you're like reddish tan.
Yeah. It's all a trick of the light. CGI.
No.
That CGI filter you put over us.
Trust me, there's no light trickery around here.
No, there are the blinding white lights making me look red. Some news from around the Packers world here. Greg Jennings, doubtful for tomorrow night's game.
That just hurts my feelings.
But let's look at this. Let's look at this. Jennings is listed as doubtful. And then shortly thereafter, Adam Schefter has a report that says, according to a source, Jennings is actually 50-50 to play tomorrow night. Now, I'm just saying, Jason Witten, in that opening game, against the Giants, was listed as doubtful the day before the game, and then played. So there could be a little gamesmanship going here. Packers making the Bears think Jennings won't play, and then he plays. Although, if Jennings doesn't play, I have the utmost confidence in James Jones.
Yeah, I'm actually not that worried.
And Donald Driver.
Because that's going to be the worst game of Aaron Rodgers' season, market zero.
What, last week?
Yes.
Yes, I would tend to agree with you.
That's going to be the worst game of Aaron Rodgers' season, market zero.
Well, you got to think, like, if Greg Jennings doesn't play tomorrow night, that's why they re-signed Driver. That's why they didn't trade James Jones. This is the whole point. They are a multiple wide receiver team. They use so many, like, formations. Their scheme is so heavily based around these spread sets. That's why you keep all these guys.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want DeAndre Borrell out there. You don't want, you know, Boykin running routes. You know, you want guys who've done it, who know Rodgers, and who Rodgers knows them. So if Jennings doesn't play...
I'd like to see a Boykin Lambeau leap now. I can't...
That would be hot. I can't... That would be the hotness.
I can't say that...
Well, of course.
You know.
But...
That'd be cool.
However, we digress. Activated outside linebacker Eric Walden after his one-game suspension for some tomfoolery on Thanksgiving last year. And in the process of activating Walden, they released Brandon Ross, who they then brought back to the practice squad, and cut running back Mark Tyler. Got to say, there's probably more upside there with Ross than with Tyler, so I understand why that move was made. Vic Saoto, last year's hero, waived off the injured reserve with an injury settlement. His fourth preseason game against the Kansas City Chiefs will forever be his greatest shining glory in the NFL, most likely.
That's sad.
Well, hey, how many people would kill to be able to intercept a pass in Lambeau and take it to the house? And he got to do that. So,
that'd be cool.
It's quite all right. So, let's like dive a little bit into the offense here.
Yeah, okay.
Offensive side of the ball.
I think we kind of skipped some stuff, didn't we?
No. Oh. I'm actually following the script.
Oh, really?
You don't, but I do.
Okay.
That's why I'm here. You make us look pretty. Give me CGI red coloring on my face.
That's debatable. If that's my job, I'm failing miserably.
Oh, no. Not at all.
The offense.
So, looking ahead against the Bears, last year, without Jennings, they put up 35 points in the last game, on the Christmas game.
Mm-hmm.
35 points. The game before that, they played the Bears, the opening game, where Jennings did play, JerMichael Finley had 3 touchdowns. Not a whole lot has changed with this Bears defense. They have a new safety, and they have an old, broken-down linebacker in Brian Urlacher, who looked pretty terrible against the Colts. You can tell he missed camp. His knee is definitely bothering him.
Yeah.
If they want to play that cover two, JerMichael Finley is going to have a field day up the seam. Because at least based on the tape that I was watching from that Colts game, Urlacher can't run. He can't go sideline to sideline like he's known to do, has been known throughout his entire career. And I can't imagine him doing that 20-yard drop that he does when they go to the Tampa 2. So if he's out there looking like he looked last week, they could have a field day over the
middle.
Are
you saying that Nick Perry is better in coverage on a tight end than Brian?
I'm not ready to go there yet. I mean, Nick Perry shouldn't be covering anybody after what we saw last week.
I tweeted out the whole Raji thing, though. Like, if you don't do the whole zone blitz, like camouflaging,
man. Exactly.
Stuff, how do you know that's not that what that was? Though?
Because in Raji in the zone blitz, they have Raji down the line. He jumps up and fades back, so it looks like he's going to come. But on the play where
he's like
Perry is like covering Crabtree. They're like 4 across, and he's lined up on top of Michael
Crabtree.
It's just
wishful thinking, okay?
I understand that.
At some point, I go to the analysis, and I see something else. What I want to see.
I love it. That's what... Hey, there are a lot of Packer fans seeing what they want to see after Sunday's game.
Of course.
A lot of Packer fans are ready to jump ship.
It's
they're done. Oh, it was over. They went 15-1. They won the Super Bowl, they went 15-1, and now they... think. Dom Capers has got to go, and yes, John Rahor, we will address your post.
Dude,
later.
100 comments.
I know. What's up with that?
Nice going.
Well done, son. We appreciate your level of activity there. But, I mean, Dom Capers, yes, to answer everybody's question, yes, if the defense doesn't improve by the end of the year, yes, Dom Capers will be on the hot seat. If his defense is historically bad, 2 years in a row, yes, he will be on the hot seat. However, it's week one.
Yeah,
now soon to be week two in about 24 hours.
I don't know. If you look at the history of Dom Capers,
he can
pull him out with the right personnel, with the right...
He has got.
I still have faith.
What the Packers have to do is not just Capers here, because this is a team-wide thing. This is a team-wide effort. And I said it all preseason. I was poo-pooed. But they've done way too much mixing and match a nickel safety. We're going to drop this guy down to corner. This is going to be the nickel corner. I was like, no. You need a corner. This is your safety. Go play. Like, there's too much specialization. And you saw it on the Randy Moss touchdown, where it looks like Morgan Burnett tries to make a check. M.D. Jennings is in there going, oh, I'm just going to play my own defense. I'm just going to play cover two while everyone else plays cover three. Is that going to matter? No. You need guys who work together
and then
nonstop.
They're all going to point the fingers at
exactly.
each other.
Exactly. That drives me insane.
That was your guy, really?
We lead the league in gesticulating after touchdowns. Some teams are like the fearsome foursome, the purple people eaters. We're the gesticulating Green Bay Packers.
Let me say something.
It's unfortunate.
Tremont does not finger wag at his teammates.
Nope. He doesn't. But you know what he does do that was driving me nuts and that everybody was doing that was driving me nuts? Still, with the 7 to 8 yard cushions on 3rd and 3, that to the end of time, that will drive me nuts. And I understand, I've asked a million times, I'm going to ask Rob Domofsky again, I'll probably get the same answer, but I have asked coaches, I have asked players, I've said, what is with that? And the answer is always the same. It's the player has the leeway to do what he feels comfortable in with certain calls. So on 3rd and 3, he's comfortable giving the guy 8 yards? Why don't you just give him the first down? Let's try it again. Oh, it drives me nuts.
It doesn't really bother me.
Yeah, of course not.
As long as they get an interception, I'm okay.
Which sometimes they don't.
I'm happy enough to
sometimes they don't.
You know what? I'm happy enough.
Yeah.
If we were just what we were last year. People can naysay. They can say, oh, our defense sucked. But you know
right.
what?
Right, right, right.
We had more turnovers than anybody else in the
Tied
regular
the
season.
Turnover. That's true. That's true.
In the regular
yes,
season.
Yes, that's true. But then what happens when we don't get those turnovers? We lose the ball game.
I
happened
know.
Again Sunday.
I was at that game. That mattered. Not last Sunday. Last Sunday didn't matter dear. As much as the game I was at.
I understand that. I well understand.
Oh, yeah. Let's not talk about that.
So anyway, well, let's go back to the offense real quick, and let's talk about something. Let's talk about the running game. Why run when you can win? Turned into why run on Sunday. Now, look.
Oh, man.
Look. I understand the calls. I got into a little bit of a tiff with Trey Wingo on Twitter this week because he pointed out something that the Packers hadn't had a 100-yard rusher in like a million starts or something, except for Aaron Rodgers. Anyway, they said they just everyone across the board, they need to run the ball more. No, they don't need to run the ball more. They need to use more formations to make it look like they may run the ball more, but they don't need to run the ball more. They need to run the ball more effectively. They need to get ahead to run the ball. They're a team that runs when they're winning. They don't run to win, to quote our friends at Football Outsiders. But if you go back and look at what they did against the Bears last year, you can, I'll almost guarantee, I'm not going to guarantee it because I'm not a guaranteeing kind of guy, but I can almost guarantee that you will see a whole lot more the zone stretch, the eye formation, some of the belly plays, a lot of the stuff that works against the Bears when they play that deep two shell. Because last year they had a lot of success with it. What'll be interesting to see is if Cedric Benson can run in that zone stretch style. Because Ryan Grant had two really good games against the Bears last year. Two really good games. It'll be interesting to see if Benson can produce in the same way. Because that opens up everything else. That that little play action bomb to, you know, roll out bomb to Jordy Nelson.
That he forced in there.
Yeah, that was definitely a forced throw. That was a poor decision by Aaron Rodgers against the 49ers.
Again, that's his worst game of the season. So,
so we don't even need to worry about it. Worst game of the season.
That's the gimmick. That's
the one. But going back to defense, let's talk about the pass rush. It's back.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, kind of. I mean, got Charles Woodson.
We got sacks.
Got Charles Woodson beat a fullback to get a sack. Clay Matthews kind of abused their left tackle a couple times to get a couple sacks. And you know, Nick Perry, I mean, for all the grief he's gotten for his coverage skills, nobody's talking about how good he was both pushing, you know, collapsing the pocket, which is what you need him to do, and also playing the force on the run. Now, where the Packers excelled against those outside, like, counterplays was on the force. Like, the guys on the perimeter did their jobs. Who did not do anywhere near their jobs were the guys from the inside who have to pursue. They were just killed. The 49ers line kept getting up to the second level, kept getting to the linebackers, and just decimating them. So the force guy would be on the outside, and Frank Gore would just cut back inside to where nobody was. DJ Smith, AJ Hawk, whoever was supposed to be on the pursuit, just killed.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I thought AJ Hawk had an okay game, but if AJ Hawk is your number one tackler, is that really what the defense is made for? Is that a good thing necessarily?
What's funny
is it didn't seem like
a
good thing.
It's not a great thing because he's traditionally the setup guy. Like when they do a lot of their even their run fits and a lot of their blitzes, he's been the guy who like has to take on an oncoming blitzer or I'm sorry, an oncoming blocker with a certain shoulder to kind of like move, you know, spill it into a certain gap. But you saw him take on more of Desmond Bishop's role Sunday. Because Bishop's out and because, you know, maybe DJ Smith isn't quite ready experience-wise or whatever, but there were just a whole lot of instances where they got outside, the force guy did his job, and then there was just zero outside pursuit, and, you know, Gore running up the sideline for 8, 9, 10, 12, 15, 20 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have that. Need better play there, need better play on the defensive line. I mean, I love me some Ryan Pickett, but he had, at best, an okay game. B.J. Raji, I know he'll never see this because he blocked me on Twitter, but B.J. Raji, what's up, buddy? 9th overall pick. I mean, I think I saw you make half a play all game. I saw minimal against the run, even less against the pass. Supposed to be like the linchpin in the middle. What's up? got to bring it. Starting he's not tomorrow listening night. To you. He will listen to me. It will happen. I don't know. No. He blocked me for a reason.
Why did he block you?
Because I'm a jerk.
Why were you? Were you? Did you do? I don't even like try. I don't. Unless I have something good to say to somebody on Twitter, I don't say it. if they're a Packer player.
All I said. That. If all they're a I Packer did. Player. Hey, AJ else, Hawk blocked care. Me too. That's why I love Tremont Williams.
Didn't like, Aaron Rodgers block you too?
No. He just called me out and then chickened out when it came time to talk to me.
Yeah,
and
it sounds like that's what he did on Boys to Men.
Speaking of chickening out. That's you bet ridiculous. Boys to Men, you're going to wear an Alex Smith jersey.
Just wear the jersey. Who cares?
And then you say, oh, TMZ got it wrong. Boys to Men's Twitter account seems to disagree with you there. Maybe chickening out is his thing. I don't know. We're going to have to get to the bottom
don't
of it.
Don't say that.
Well, he can come on this program anytime he wants.
He already
We've invited
Super Bowl.
Him on enough.
He's obviously proven that he doesn't chicken out.
Yeah, you're right.
By winning the Super Bowl.
Right. Well, he doesn't chicken out on the football field, but off the field? Come on now. That's two, Corey. One more and he's done. Game over. I'll never talk about him again on this program.
Yeah, right. he's only QB1.
He is only QB1, and he is fantastic. And he just played his worst game of the year last year. Per Corey Banking.
And he was pretty good. I actually, you know, if that's how we play against the worst team, I mean the best team in the NFL,
yeah.
So be it.
Yeah.
First game of the season, where we are right
They're
now.
They're going to improve. That's it. All right, we need to take a break.
Oh, we did.
It's that time, yes. When we come back, we'll be talking to Rob Domofsky from the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, right here on Packer Transplants Live. Stick around. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live on the line with Mr. Rob Domofsky from the Green Bay Press Gazette. How are you tonight, Rob?
How are you guys?
Doing well. Thanks so much for making time. Let's dive right in. Is Dom okay. Capers on the hot seat?
No. He's not going to get fired. They need to play better, but they've invested all this time in the 3-4 defense and in his scheme that, I mean, if things don't go well, you know, this year, they're not going to dump him, no.
But, okay, they've invested all this time and resources into the 3-4. Might someone else run the 3-4, like Darren Perry, if they're historically bad once again?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, you know, the only way, I think it'll be Dom's choice if that happens. He was very frustrated last year that they didn't get better and that he couldn't fix it. I mean, I suppose if that were to happen again, you know, I could see him saying, you know, maybe it's time for me to hand this over. I don't think McCarthy has lost any faith in him, if that's what you guys are asking.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Looking specifically on defense, do we think we've seen the last of M.D. Jennings as the nickel safety?
Yeah, I think it'll be McMillan. And it was weird. Remember in camp, I can't remember if it was the same week or consecutive weeks. I think it was consecutive weeks. One week, Hayward got a chance to work with the starters at corner.
Right.
And then the next week, McMillan got to work at safety. It might have been vice versa. I don't think it was together. But at both of those times, I thought, okay, well, those guys are going to get in there, and they're not going to give the job up. Yet they went back both times. They went back to Bush at corner and M.D. Jennings at safety. And for the life of me, I could not figure out why. And I think both of those guys will probably be out of the lineup this week. I really think that, Jerron McMillan's going to be that safety, and I doubt he gives it up. And I don't think Bush is going to have anywhere near the same role that he had last week, although I think it'll probably be Sam Shields with an increased role. But it would not surprise me if Casey Hayward, they used him in, you know, something. I don't think they're going to put him out there in nickel or die, you know, anything specific. But right. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a package where he plays 10 or 15 plays this game.
Yeah, I mean, you saw, you know, everyone talked about how he looked the part, talking about Hayward. Early on.
Yeah.
And then he kind of got lost. And then you saw him get burned in San Diego. And then he kind of just got lost in the shuffle.
Right.
But you could definitely see that there's talent there.
Yeah, he's not a speed guy. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me that he got burned early on because he's going to have to rely on, you know, knowledge, route recognition,
right.
Understanding of the scheme. And I talked to a couple guys. Like James Jones told me late in camp that he's never seen a rookie corner that understands what the offensive player is trying to do, you know, better than Hayward has as a rookie.
I've asked this a million times. I mentioned it in our opening segment. I've talked to coaches. I've talked to players. I've talked to beat writers. I've talked to everyone short of John Madden himself. But what is up with the 8-yard cushions on third and short?
They're not playing press man anymore.
But I mean, they hired,
you know,
off?
which is interesting that, you know, like Jay Cutler, but, you know, he said,
right,
I dare him to play. They don't really do that anymore. They really haven't done that for a while. Now, that doesn't mean they have to play 8 yards off on third and three.
Right.
That was a little interesting. I will grant you that. I have no explanation for that.
I mean, the book on Randy Moss has been written. You beat him up early,
yeah,
play a safety
right
over the top,
right,
and he's done. He'll give up. But they played him like it was his rookie year, and Randall Cunningham was throwing bombs to him.
Like they were afraid of getting shoved aside and getting beat over the top or something.
It just made no sense.
That is very interesting.
No sense to me. Looking on the offensive side of the ball, do you think they got trapped into trying to use their new toy a little bit too much, or toys plural being the the no-huddle offense, and especially in the way that they featured Randall Cobb? I mean, I know Cobb was effective, but you can only go to Cobb so many times.
Yeah, sometimes they, meaning coaches, outthink themselves. Usually you see it, like, coming out of a bye week. But maybe they did it this time. Although we saw, and we weren't, you know, for whatever goofy reason, the rules prevented us from writing about Cobb. And we saw this early in camp.
Yep.
That first week. And
okay, I got to interrupt you really quickly because I love the fact that you guys got. I know one of the guys from ESPN Milwaukee tweeted about it, about Cobb being in the backfield.
Yeah, they had to take it down.
He caught holy hell from Packers PR,
but
and he made the right point. What? So the 1,600 people in the fans with phones
and that was what I was going to say is that even though we're not allowed to tweet about it, you know, 1,500 or 2,000 people saw it in the stands. Now I guess the difference is that those people don't have 10,000 people following them on Twitter like we do, I guess. Or other teams aren't following them and don't know who they are. Other teams know who all of us are, I guess. And you know, whatever. It's not just the Packers. I mean, it's an NFL-wide thing.
Exactly.
So, but anyway, we saw that, you know, extensively in the insulation period of camp. Now, obviously, they weren't going to do it in any of the preseason games.
Right.
Why would you, you know, at that point? But they certainly did it way more than I thought they would do it. And did they? Was it a reaction to not being able to run the ball, or was that in the game plan? I mean, we'll never know that. But they sure, you know, and we've talked about this before, but if there's one thing that Mike McCarthy gives up on quickly, it's the running game, right?
Oh, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
He obviously gave up before the game even started.
Yeah.
What was funny, too, is that they were running against a six-man box.
Well, yeah.
Going back and watching,
both safeties were back, and they were playing
20 yards off the line. And then they were short a linebacker most of the time.
And some of the times early in the game, they were taking Willis off the field.
Yeah, and then
Pete and I were like, oh, my goodness, 52 is not even on the field.
What was killing me is that if you go back and watch the tape, it's simple line stunts. It's like three instances where they double, you know, they in their blocking scheme, they have two guys on the end or on the tackle. And then all of a sudden, the end comes whizzing around past the double team. Like, three times this happened to stop Benson for no gain. Like, that's a simple adjustment. You got to think they're going to, you know, try and at least make the adjustment there. I think we just lost Rob.
Yeah, we lost him.
We lost Rob. Call him back. Call him back. I'll cut this part out.
Did I lose you guys?
We lost you.
We lost you.
All right.
But we're back.
Sorry. We're back.
Sorry about that. You were saying about the line.
The simple line stunts just killed the running game. I mean, simple stuff.
Yeah. I was surprised. I mean, but, you know, then again, they haven't been they hadn't been together all camp, you know, as far as an offensive unit goes. I mean, they started three different running backs in the four preseason games. And I asked McCarthy in my Q&A, I said, you know, the offense just doesn't seem quite right this preseason. He said, hey, we were fine against Cincinnati, which was the one game that, you know, they really game plan and played the starters for. But I wish I would have trusted my you know, instincts and picked against them based on what I saw. But I just didn't trust myself.
Yeah, that's the old buyer's remorse. I mean, you thought the Packers would get beat up, but I just thought that they would have a better showing on offense. I kind of expected the defense to struggle.
I agree with you. I agree, and I thought that they would somehow, as they have done so often on defense, they would at some point bait Alex Smith into, you know, a mistake, even though he's not a chance taker. I still thought they would get him once, then it would be a difference maker, but they obviously couldn't. Now they're playing a guy this week who, if they don't get a turnover this week against Cutler, who will throw it, you know, anywhere, then there's serious reason to be concerned. But I don't know what you guys thought of Woodson's comments.
I was going to ask you about it.
I was strong. You know, I went, obviously wanted to go right to him because he usually gives an honest assessment. And now maybe you can't.
You were waiting for some post Metrodome meltdown stuff.
Now maybe you can't do that week one, no matter what you really think. But I was, I guess, for lack of a better term, stunned by his optimism. And maybe he, A, thinks that the 49ers are really good, and B, is convinced that there's talent this year. Whereas last year, I mean, the talent level, you know, with a Charlie Peppra, you know, with Shields, although maybe Shields, he thinks Shields is different now because you're still playing them. But maybe he just sees that there's better talent across the board. That's the only explanation I have for why he took that optimistic approach.
Well, you got to think they're going to improve. Looking ahead to tomorrow night's matchup with the Bears. You know, a lot being made about Greg Jennings possibly being out, but they put up 35 on the Bears last year with Jennings out. Do you think that'll be a major problem, or they kind of just slide Driver in, put Jones at the outside, and just keep rolling?
Well, I think that Jones obviously goes outside, but I think that maybe Cobb goes back to the slot and they use Benson and Alex Green a little bit more. I'm not convinced that all of a sudden, I mean, Driver will play more, I would think, but I still think it's probably 20 to 25 snaps. It's not going to be 65 plays like that. You know, and the other thing that they talked about in this offseason, and we haven't seen yet, is moving Nelson around more and putting him in the slot. We've hardly seen that.
Yeah.
But
they've almost never done that historically.
Yeah, but McCarthy said he wanted to do it, and they did it a little bit in camp this year. Not much, but a little bit more than I've ever seen them do it, which was, you know, they basically never did it, like you said. So I wonder if this is, you know, if that's the case. I still am not convinced that that Jennings won't play, and then I saw Schefter had something. But, you know, what struck me is when McCarthy – so they came in today, and Jason Waller's the PR director, reads the injury report, and he said Jennings is doubtful. So then McCarthy comes in and says, well, you know, he looked okay in his rehab. But I haven't talked to him. So basically what that means is that Pepper Burris, the trainer, and Waller's came up with the doubtful designation without ever consulting McCarthy about it. Maybe that's standard procedure, but I would think that the coach would be, you know, would have more of a say in the status of a guy. So I wonder if he's not closer to questionable than he is actually doubtful.
Well, we saw Jason Witten listed as doubtful.
And somebody, you know, a few years ago, somebody did a study at actually, you know, doubtful is supposed to be a 25% chance of playing.
Right.
And how many guys listed as doubtful actually play? I don't think it's 25%. I think it's much lower than that. But the league doesn't like, if you list somebody as doubtful and they play, or vice versa, you list them as probable and they don't, the league doesn't like that.
No, they most certainly do not.
The gamblers don't either.
there's a good question here on our live blog that I wanted to posit to you.
Okay.
Driver was I guess not vocal because he was asked about it and he answered the question.
He answered it with a smile. He was smiling and the whole time too. I think that, you know, that doesn't come across in print.
I tried
to say that he was not angry sounding. Now whether he's angry inside, but go ahead.
But do you think that tone changes if week six, week eight, he's still playing 5-6 snaps a game?
Probably, yeah. I think it probably does.
I love Rob.
The other thing
Rob
is,
doesn't
though,
care. Rob's like, yeah, I will.
You know, the other thing, I say he wasn't upset. You know, maybe it's because he knows he's still making, you know, $2 million this year or whatever it is, $2.2 million. I mean, it's like, you know, you could pay me whatever to not work. I'd probably do it.
Yeah, well, he's not getting those hits across the middle when he's not playing, that's for sure.
I think that, if they're 5-1 and he's not playing in week six, no. But if they're 3-3, and I've said this before, and it's nothing I'm not afraid to say publicly, those receivers are the biggest group of front runners I've ever been around.
Nice.
Greg Jennings wouldn't talk after the game.
James Jones didn't talk after the game, but he talked on television later that night.
Yeah, he was on the show that I was on, Sunday night show. But and I think it was Monday, too, that both, those guys, Jennings and Driver, both refused to talk on Monday, but they talked Tuesday. So
really?
Yeah, so there you go.
Well, what about, speaking of front runners, someone who's gotten, I guess, pushed that reputation upon this offseason by a couple of different national guys, what about Aaron Rodgers?
Has he gotten that reputation?
Well, I'll send you a couple links, my friend. Some interesting reading. I liked his answer. I thought it was interesting, his answer to Wilde about the lack of fourth quarter success when coming back. He said he's had lots of game-winning drives in the second and third quarters, but that's kind of a bit of a straw man. But what do you make of the kind of uncharacteristic mistakes we saw from him, from not sliding the end of the first half to the interception to the poor decision to throw deep?
At the end of the half, I thought more about, I think, didn't McCarthy call timeout with like 38 seconds?
Oh, that was dumb.
Yeah, that's the one that struck me as, wow, that could come back to haunt you. And sure enough, but he does that all the time. It drives me absolutely nuts because, you know what, you call the timeout on, I don't remember his first or whatever down it was,
not
and then they
down.
Convert it. Well, then you've just handed them more time. So I've never understood that. I like to let the clock
You know what drove me nuts? What drove me absolutely insane at the end of the first half was when they came out in their freaking defense. It was the same D that they played at the end of the Giants' first half in the playoff game. And Colin Kaepernick is in at quarterback.
Yeah, and then he had a wide open just.
If you watched anything in preseason, you know Kaepernick took off for an 80-yard touchdown out of that formation.
I was going to say, how do you not see that?
How do they not? These are professionals. I knew it watching from my couch. That's the stuff that drives me insane. And he runs for like 20 yards.
Yeah, that's a good question. Don't get that. But the interception, you know, and he said after the game that, you know, he never lets, or at least he almost never lets, receivers waving their arms. And if you watched when I got home that night, I watched it, and Jennings threw up his left hand, and boom, he threw. You can't, you know, because you guys know, receivers always think they're open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't trust those guys. And I mean, this whole show I've been bagging on receivers, but you can't trust those guys because they always think they're open. And he admit, you know, he said it. He goes, I shouldn't have done that. He usually does. It's not a mistake he makes. I thought maybe he just never saw the linebacker, which I guess he probably didn't, but he said it was more that he saw Jennings throw his hand up and he reacted, which, you know, he'll never do that again would be my guess.
Well, yeah, certainly hope not. Going back, it's funny you say that about the receivers. All I can think about is this one play where Randy Moss, famously on Monday Night Football, literally they snapped the football and his hand went up as he's coming out of his stance.
Some guys think they're open when they get off the bus. You know?
All right, so any predictions for tomorrow night? Have you put anything out there yet?
If it's not online yet, it should be shortly. It was like one of those picks where I hate to pick, but I made it anyway. I picked them to win. I don't feel great about it. I think, too, I reasoned it by two things. First of all, there's no such thing as a must-win in week two. I don't care what anybody says.
Agreed.
But I do think that they're feeling a little heat, so you know they'll probably respond better, respond to that. And then, I, as much as the Bears are, you know, look to be better, and I thought they were a good team last year through 10 weeks until Cutler got hurt. In fact, I thought they were the second best team in the division at 7-3 at that
agreed.
Point. But
totally agreed.
I still don't think. I mean, that you can just say, "Well, boy, their offense is unbelievable," because you know of the additions they made, and it might be unbelievable, but they played, you know, a JV team basically on Sunday in the Colts. So I think they'll win. I do think the Packers are going to make some defensive personnel adjustments this week that will help. But it would not. That said, it would not surprise me if the Bears came in here and won.
Yeah. I totally agree there. Yeah, I've got them winning.
Hedge.
I've got them
That's
winning. I've got them winning as well.
He's hedging. Come on, Green Bay Press Gazette.
Hey. I think the score I picked was Packers 27-24.
That's exactly what I. Anyway, we're on the same wavelength here. I did want to say it was really impressive that everybody from the Green Bay Press Gazette picked the Packers to win last Sunday. And was wrong.
And we all picked them to win the Super Bowl, which kind of teased me off because I guess I'm sensitive about the people think that we're, you know, homers or whatever.
I don't think you're a homer.
Rob, we
I know
you're
I know
not.
You guys I know.
But, we know you're not.
If I'd have known those other three guys were picking the Packers to win the Super Bowl, I would have picked against them just to be that way.
Just to be the fly in the
ear. But you guys know me. That's the way I am.
Absolutely. Well, Rob,
you're an absolute gentleman, scholar, legend for joining us tonight. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Yes, thank you. Well,
I hope to see you guys in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll see you then. Rob Domofsky, right, thanks so much. Have a great night.
Bye. We'll be seeing you.
That's how we roll. Rob Domofsky comes in, drops some knowledge.
I actually, I saw Rob in Minneapolis Airport.
That's right, I can't believe we forgot to talk about it.
No, it's all right. I'll talk to him about it in 2 weeks.
When I saw him at the press box at Family Night, he was like, I ran into Corey at the airport.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Where were you going?
I was going to Minnesota Lakes on a vacation.
And he was going
to, like, Canada, dude, on vacation. We were both going on vacation. So we saw each other on the convey, you know, those belts?
Right.
And he was like, Corey, and I'm like, Rob. And then it just so happened that his flight actually was next door, so he had to come all the way back.
See, we've come such a long way. But if you search the archives of Cheesehead TV, search Rob Domofsky.
He's a kind
man. We used to hate that guy.
I know.
Now we love him.
Well, it's meeting him. It's like, it's the difference when you
used to really hate him.
Yeah, I did. I did, but I've told him that.
I know, he knows.
I've told him to his face.
Well, that's our famous line when he said, He said, you guys hate me. We said, no, we don't. He said, that's not what Google says.
No, yeah. I'm very happy he's a Packer beat writer. He's a legend.
He's one of the best. One of the best. I think it's time, Corey. I think it's time.
It's time?
It's time.
Okay.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
It's nice to be able to hear that.
That's right, it's the return! This week of the Packers Blogosphere, that venerable series.
It came on again.
That's awesome. We love the music, it doesn't matter. This week of the Packers Blogosphere, we're highlighting Pocket Doppler. Our partner in producing, presenting, in conjunction with us here at CheeseheadTV.com, Throwback Weekend 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Throwback Weekend 2, no throwback jerseys.
No throwback jerseys, because they're not doing any throwbacks.
It's like the sub
underlined. But it's much more about throwback than throwback. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You hear me? Yeah. So make sure you check out Pocket Doppler, check out Cheesehead TV, sign up. There's T-shirts available, all sorts of different packages. Make sure you get signed up, because it's going to be... awesome.
Yeah, and if you don't, there's a Twitter account, there's a Facebook event.
There's a website. Like,
there's a website.
It's like all professional. Like, I don't know. I feel kind of weird associating myself with something this well run.
It's way too professional.
You know why it's so well run? Because Kyle Cousineau's involved.
That's right. Kyle Cousineau and Wally Pingle. That's what happens.
If Kyle Cousineau is involved, it gets done. I said on Twitter earlier tonight, this guy is like the embodiment of everything that's good about the Packers and their fans. How the team doesn't have him on the payroll yet, I'm mystified. I don't know, because he's wonderful.
I can live with that statement.
It's true. It's just the truth. So, Corey, predictions. Tomorrow night, what's going to happen?
We're going to win. I'm going to be a kettle of fish.
Are you really?
Possibly.
Very nice. Very nice.
I mean, I don't know. It's hard. I can walk there now.
I know. How crazy is that?
And so I feel like a tool if I'm just, like, sitting on the internet on the blog and
but that's
watching.
What we do.
I know.
What do you mean? Did you just call me a tool?
No, you're actually at the Borg now.
I think
you actually get to live at the Borg during football season, right?
Well, on Sundays, yeah. Tomorrow night I'll just be at home.
Oh, gotcha.
But yeah, on Sundays I'm at Bleacher Report headquarters, surrounded by stuff, football everywhere.
How's that?
It's weird. It was really weird. What was really unfortunate, I really want them to have as many primetime games as possible, because in, like, the third quarter, I was shooting videos. So, like, I was kind of catching glimpses of the game.
Oh, no.
That was tough.
That's a no-no.
I can't do that. They pay me to do it. So.
I hear you. I can't do that. You couldn't pay me to do that.
Well,
I got
mouths to feed.
Even the job I have, this is in the contract.
Oh, exactly. So, yeah, we're digressing. We should probably wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you got something else you need to say.
I don't.
All right.
I just want fans to chill the F out.
Yes, please chill the F out. We're going to beat the Bears tomorrow night.
A lot of ball game, a lot of season.
You know why?
Take it in,
live
it in.
Because the Bears still suck.
Yes, they do.
Wait, did I just say the Bears still suck?
Yes, you did.
Can I?
Don't tell Jason Wilde.
Can we just go to the YouTube and get that song up there?
Oh, yeah?
I mean, we should do that because it's not really, I mean, we're kind of robbed this week. You know what I mean? You think about Bear Week. You get Bear Week. This year we get, like, Bear a couple of days. We get Bear Extended Weekend.
I mean, that's not fair. I want my bear week. That's what I'm talking about. This is what it's all about right here.
How many times must we take this disgrace? Another Bears fan
that's it. That's all you need. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Pack and Transplants. We'd like to thank our guest, Rob Demoski, Green Bay Press Gazette. Not to mention everyone for joining us here in the live blog. You guys are the reason we do this. We love chatting with you every week. We love this big show. We love hearing your feedback. Tell your friends, tell your fellow Packer fans. The most unique experience on the internet for Packer fans. Bye, Packer fans. That's why we're here. Why we do what we do. You're a Packer fan. That's what they tell me. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packer fans worldwide. We'll see you next week. Go Packers. Still suck.